Good evening. We'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's meeting of the City of South Jordan Planning Commission for Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. I'm Commissioner Gedge. I'm joined by Commissioners Catmull and Farnsworth. We would like to excuse Commissioners Hollis and Harding this evening, and we do have a vacancy on the commission that's citywide. So if anyone present is interested, please reach out to, of course, we'll get an update here in a little bit on that, so I won't say reach out yet, but on that. So we also have to welcome our city staff. On my left, audience right, we have City Attorney's Office, our Planning and Economic Development and Recorder's Office. On my right, audience left, we have our Engineering and Planning Department. We also want to welcome Chief Dawson from our Fire Department here this evening as well. And we want to thank you all citizens for coming out and applicants for coming out this evening. We appreciate when applicants are present with us this evening. We have an agenda. There's some printed copies in the back. If you had a chance to sign in as you leave this evening, if you could just sign in so we have that who was present this evening. Just to go over our items before we get into the agenda, when we get to the items that are on our agenda, the process, staff will present to us a overview of the report that was in the public notice. And then following the report, the commission will ask the staff of questions. Following that, we will invite the applicant to come forward. And as this is their application, they have as much time to add to the staff report as they so choose. The commission may ask the applicant questions at that point. Following that, we will open the portion of the meeting to the general public. Any member of the public who is here in the council chambers can approach the microphone when public comment is opened. Gives name and address for the public record, and then you have up to 3 minutes to give any testimony that you would like to give on the item. We will not directly answer any question that you may bring up. We are taking notes down, and once we close all of public comments, we will then work with city staff, and we may invite the applicant back up to answer some of those questions that might be out there. Following that, we will make a motion will be made this evening. Because there are only three commissioners, any motion will have to be unanimous this evening, because we have to have at least three votes for a motion to pass. And as you can see, there's three of us. So any motion that is 2-1 or 1-2 will fail. So it will have to be a 3-0 vote. And that's kind of just, and I'll remind you on our two items this evening, just the process on that. So our first item on the agenda after the welcome and roll call is item B, to approve this evening's agenda. I have not been told of any changes to the agenda. If not, I will accept the motion.
Chair Gedge, I would like to make a motion that we approve the agenda as published.
And I will second that. Any discussion to the motion? We have a motion by Commissioner Catmull, a second by Commissioner Gedge. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Just be formal. That motion passes 3 in favor. Takes us to our next item, item C, the minutes of our January 27th, 2026 meeting. That was a very long meeting. First three items we got done in 10 minutes. The next item took over 2 hours. So thank you, staff, for putting together our minutes on that. Hopefully everyone had a chance to review those. Any additions, corrections, changes, omissions that were in the minutes? If not, I'm open to a motion on the minutes. I will make a motion to approve the minutes from the January 27th, 2026 Planning Commission meeting as published.
I'll second.
We have a motion. Oh, any discussion to the motion? We have a motion by Commissioner Gedge, a second by Commissioner Farnsworth. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion also passes 3 in favor. Takes us to our section D, our staff business. I will look to my left, audience right, Mr. Schindler.
I didn't have anything until you mentioned an opening on the Planning Commission, and I would let you know that so far there have not been any applicants. So if you want to announce to the audience that if they would like to, interested in being on the Planning Commission, to submit an application to the City Recorder's Office.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schindler. Yeah, as he just said, we do have a vacancy. It is our citywide position that is the mayor's nominee. It will be approved by the full city council, but there's an application on the city website that if you are interested. We have a bunch of fun up here, two meetings a month, the second and fourth Tuesday. If you're not quite ready, I know many of you are in District 1, which is the district which I represent. My term's up in 2 years, so this is my second year, year 7. So think about it if you really want to get involved. Anything else, Mr. Schindler, Mr. Priest, Mr. Simonson, Mr. Nilsson, Mr. Aguilera, Mr. Jarman? Don't want to forget you. No? Okay. That'll move us to item E, comments from the Planning Commission members. Anything from anyone? Finally, this is where I ask if you'll be absent at our next meeting the second week of March. I'll follow up with Commissioners Harding and Hollis to just make sure we have a quorum. And at the end, we'll ask if we even will be having a meeting. So, okay. Section F is our summary action, and Section G is our action. These are typically items that have maybe been held over from a previous meeting that we just need to take some final action on. We have none of those this evening. So let's jump into it. So Section H, our administrative public hearings. This is an item where we, the Planning Commission, are the final body for these items. So our action tonight will be the last step on that. And we have one item under this, which is item H1, the Daybreak Village, 13 Plat 1, preliminary subdivision for property located at 7090 West, South Jordan Parkway. The applicant is LHM Real Estate, and Mr. Schindler will be presenting us this item. And so he's going to make his way up here while I switch to my report on the Daybreak Village.
Thank you. This on there. This application is for a single lot subdivision to be located at 7090 West South Jordan Parkway. The intended use and future use for that piece of property will be a South Jordan fire station, I believe probably number 65. And it's, I don't think today when it comes to the applicant, LHM, they are the official applicant, but technically they're making this application for the city because eventually the city will be the owner of that property. And so I don't believe anybody from LHM will be here tonight. All the questions you have, hopefully the staff can answer them. I don't have too much to add to it. There was a lot of consideration about where to place the fire station, and this is what was picked to be the optimal place. I also want to put on the record that there were two written comments that were submitted to the city and directed to the Planning Commission. They were forwarded on to you from my email and also to the city recorder's office. Just to make sure that you all receive those. And I don't have anything else to add. Our fire chief, Chief Dawson, is here to answer any questions if you have any regarding where the fire station will be located.
So. I'm assuming the city is recommending approval?
Yes, we are. Sorry.
Since you're kind of the co-applicant?
Yes.
Great, thank you. And as Mr. Schindler just referenced, we did receive two emails from residents. One is from a Jennifer Blackney, which was, I won't say for for or against, I don't know if that's appropriate for us to judge the intent of the email. And the other one is from an Ezra Pugliano. So those have been added into the record on that. We'll start with Greg while he's up here. I'm going to invite Chief Dawson up in a second. But any questions for Greg while he's at the podium? Okay, so Chief Dawson, as you make your way up, I guess one of the comments or concerns question is, you know, why this location? Greg kind of referenced that in his report. What's the distance from the nearest fire station? Obviously, if we look at this map that's being presented today, there's not a lot of current development, but I'm assuming this is for planning purposes for the future. And I'm assuming, you know, how will this increase from the current look at response times and like the full breadth of the area it would serve?
Yeah, I can actually have a map here. I can kind of show you where the current ones are if we can use the overhead for that.
The overhead. There we go.
So the area in pink right there, this area right here, that is station 64 that is currently built. That was our last station built. It's right off of Mountain View Corridor and Lake Avenue. The proposed location for station 65, the lot that you're looking at tonight is right there. As you can see, that kind of purple pink area, if you will, that's the area that 64 covers in what we would consider to be our optimal response area. So 5 to 7 minute response area. So the far west side of our city is currently from my perspective, inadequately covered for response times. So that's why we are moving forward to build Station 65 to cover that far west side. The blue is a little bit, that kind of that teal color, if you will, is not quite correct. That's based upon current roads that exist and not on the expected roads to be built as that continues to develop. This area we've spent years looking at. This is something that I've actually been looking at for probably 7 of my 8 years here in South Jordan, and that's the location we've really been looking at. In fact, we're within a few hundred yards of our original location. So we feel like it's optimally placed as Bacchus Highway is realigned. That will have a connection to South Jordan Parkway there, and that'll give us great north-south as well as east-west movement through the city. Currently in that area, we're running response times of 12 plus minutes, 12 to 15 minutes in some cases. And of course, if you've got a medical emergency, 80% of our calls are EMS related. If you have a medical emergency, someone will have to have a cardiac arrest, choking, something like that. Obviously that time frame can mean life or death. So that's why we're concerned about getting that out in that area. As you can see, Station 64 is slightly farther south, Station 65 slightly farther north. As we've run the area for the new annexation area inside the city, we feel like we adequately cover that within our optimal response zone. There's always the potential as well that as mine shuttering operations happen in the future, we expect some growth in the city. And at that time, we would expect then the potential for a sixth fire station, which would actually be kind of in that corner there is what we're projecting as that area expands. The other thing we're looking at too, whenever there's a what we would call a more critical emergency, if you will, the closest fire unit and EMS unit will respond regardless of jurisdiction. And so we look closely at our surrounding neighbors. So to the north, we have West Jordan. To the south, we have Harriman. Both of them have indicated areas where they would like to put stations. So Harriman in the Olympia Hills area, north on UN-11 for West Jordan. So this one is optimally placed really between those stations as well. And so it gives us great coverage within our city as well as to our mutual aid and follow-on aid area. And I'm prepared to answer any questions or concerns that you might have regarding the email.
If approved this evening, what's the time frame for building, moving dirt and...
Yeah, we're hoping to have this station open sometime in late 28 or early 29. So based upon the timing for funding for architecture, we do have preliminary design work done on this to ensure that the lot works well. It does, has great ingress, egress for us, and again, good travel routes. That's one of the reasons we picked it. In fact, we picked the area based upon those major roads long before we knew actually what Daybreak would develop this area into, so...
And just typically with the new fire station, does the city have to hire additional firefighters, EMS workers to staff it, or do you take from other stations?
No, we're planning to hire 21 additional FTEs to cover that new fire station. That will put a engine company. That's also close, of course, to the Ochre Mountains. That area presents a significant wildland urban interface challenge for us. So that station will actually function with a Type 1-3 engine, which does both commercial or structure firefighting as well as wildland firefighting. That engine's already been purchased. We'll actually take delivery of that later this year. And then we will put a medic unit out there as well, so an ambulance, paramedic ambulance, to run in that area as well. So that's the plan for the 21 FTEs.
That's all I have for the chief. Anything for the chief from either of you?
You covered the questions I had.
Okay. Yeah, you read my mind. I had several questions, but...
Sorry, I'll let you guys go first next time.
No, the questions were around how many more to build out on the city and how do we get coverage on the rest, and the chief answered those just fine for me.
No, so. Thank you, chief, for being here.
Of course.
We'll save some time for you after public comment, and if we have any additional questions that arise.
Very good, thank you.
Just before we open general public for staff, Chief mentioned that, you know, building, if budget allows, open 28, 29, 2026, that we're approving the subdivision. Of course, this is not a site plan, so it's just the subdivision of the property, so we don't have to do any worry about the footprint of the building or any setbacks, landscaping, anything that we would typically see. This is only the subdivision of the property is what we're considering this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you didn't hear the record, Mr. Schindler nodded, and I believe said correct. So I just want
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, at this point, we're going to open up this portion of the meeting to the general public. So any member of the general public who is here to give testimony on this item, which is the preliminary subdivision of Daybreak Village 13, Plat 1, you're welcome to come forward to the microphone, give the name and address for the public record. You will have up to 3 minutes. I have a clock, and the same clock is with you, and when it gets to red, I'm sadly going to cut you off. This will be so we can get to other residents this evening, and that will go for our next item as well. And then we will not be directly answering any questions you have with the chief and with the staff. That's a little bit different as though the applicant. And so, but with the general public, we will take down any comments, and then we will address them once public comment is open. So public comment is now open. So any member of the public who is present for this item, please feel free to come forward to the microphone. Don't be shy. If not, I'm going to close public comment and move it back to the commission for discussion and leading to a possible motion. I think this is a good fix, a good planning for the future. Great area, especially having been a planning commissioner for the municipality to the north with that kind of desert right there with their future plans, and then with Harriman to the south, robust coverage. And I've always worried about what would happen with a wildfire there in the mine operations today, but it looks like we're covering it for the future, which I guess the planning commissioner.
There we go. Yeah, I would agree. That's an area with a lot of growth in the city, and so making sure that we have adequate fire coverage, I think, is a top priority. And so I would make a motion that we approve file number PLPP 2025-00260.
Okay. I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Farnsworth, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? If not, this will require a roll call vote. So, Ms. Valdez, if we could please have that.
Commissioner Farnsworth.
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge.
Aye.
Yes.
That motion passes 3 in favor. So, Chief, again, thank you for being here this evening. We look forward to that. Hopefully, we'll still be serving on the commission and can be invited to a ribbon cutting in 28 or 29. Okay, so that concludes our administrative public hearing items this evening. So that's just how the flow goes. So now we're getting, which I'm assuming everybody else is here for this evening, our legislative public hearing items. And on this section, we are not the final decision makers of these items. These we are making a recommendation to the City Council. So this item will be heard again by the City Council, and that since they are the elected legislative body of the city, they will make the final decision for this item. Same process follows: staff report, applicant, commission will ask questions, we'll have the general public comment, we'll have a discussion, motion. So we have our legislative item I-1, the Purple Church Rezone Development for property located at 10353 South Temple Drive. The applicant is Christopher Thompson, and Mr. Aguilera will be giving us his report this evening. So Miguel, the time is yours.
Thank you, commissioners. I have, a pretty exciting project for you guys to look at tonight. So this is the Purple Church Planned Development Project. This is its location. It's kind of near the corner of South Jordan Parkway and Temple Drive. And this is the current zoning. The zone is agricultural A1, 1 acre. And it is surrounded to the south by office, to the west by commercial, and to the north by mixed use historic. The land use designation is historic as well. And under this application, the land use designation is planned to remain the same. That's not going to change. So this is the existing site currently. There is really just that chapel church there with a parking lot to the south. There isn't much going on the north side or the rear of the property. And so this is the proposed site plan. So the Destinations Inc. is requesting that the Planning Commission provide a recommendation to the City Council. This development is requesting a rezone to community commercial with a planned development overlay. So the development includes multiple uses, including office and a reception/event center. The office building is proposed from the north near that property line, and the reception center is going to be that church that's going to be renovated and also built onto in the rear. The proposed plans preserve the church's existing structure and also architectural design so that it's still in conformance with the designated land use, the historic designated land use. And the accompanying agreement is to provide some flexibility so that the property can develop in a way that just wouldn't really be possible under just the standard community commercial zoning. So under this plan, they're planning to add on to, and this is a zoom in of the church. So the addition is to the rear. There is going to be two levels to this. The first level is going to be, let's see, I wrote it down here. The first level is going to be a greenhouse event space in the back, restrooms and some other bridal rooms. The second level will have an event balcony and a plaza, or excuse me, overlooking a plaza and the east side of the city. And the existing front of the building will also be renovated on the inside. And that just outlines where the addition will be in the rear. So these are some elevations that they provided of the church. This is from the front on the 13th West. And this is on the rear, those additions, that greenhouse space, as well as the deck. And that's a view probably from the plaza. And these are just other elevation renderings. And the proposed floor plan that they're having for this church. And this is the second level. Getting to the office building. So the office building is proposed again for the north side, which we can see here. On the north side of the property, it'll be 3 stories of 45 feet tall. This was reviewed by the city council. The zone limit is 35 feet, but the city council listened to the applicants, and originally it was proposed 50 feet tall, but the city council suggested 45 feet, so that's what they went with. The renderings show mostly it's designed to be compatible with the existing church on site and the architecture of that building. The windows facade was something the city council really liked, so that is why we entered language into the agreement, so that the materials are kept from what is reflected in this rendering. And these are some elevation renderings from the building on different sides. And a sample floor plan that was provided. So moving on to parking, this map shows two properties to the south. Well, five properties, but two property owners involved in what is potentially going to be a shared parking agreement. So there are 92 parking stalls on site, 40 for the church use, and 52 for the office building. So that's 92 total. With this shared parking plan that they provided, they are saying they're going to have about 216 parking stalls total, which would be about 75 for the existing uses on the south, which I think are dental and professional offices. So that leaves about 47 flex spaces to be added onto the 92 of the planned development. So as far as the parking requirements, it's not defined explicitly in the code what this use could be. So it could be two potential categories of uses. Based on their parking tabulation, they fall somewhere in between both requirements, closer to the more stricter one, one stall per 100 square feet. But they are about 18 stalls short of that requirement, I think.
18 stalls short with just without the property agreement with the neighboring property owners?
No, with the shared.
With the shared, okay.
If the use is calculated using the stricter definition, then they're about that 18 stalls. But, and they can probably speak on this further. They did provide some information showing that based on the times of use, based on when the dental offices would be occupied during the week and when this event center would probably be in use. The parking would not be totally occupied on days during the week and things like that. And this highlights the area of parking where the yellow is on the on-site parking, so just south of the office building and south of the church. And the orange is where the shared parking space is going to be. So they're gonna, they're proposing to work with the other two property owners to redesign that parking lot, move the entrance a little bit further up north from where it exists. So it'll be further up north from that side currently. And so as far as the shared parking agreement, it has not been provided to the city. We did communicate to the applicants that a shared parking agreement, a final one, would need to be submitted to the city before any future site plan review or approval is given. We did indicate to them that it would be preferred that they provide it before it was this application is taken to city council. In the future, the developer has indicated they may subdivide the lot into two lots. If that happens, they can do that, but both lots would still be subject to this development agreement and to the zone. Regarding public comments, I didn't receive any written public comments or any emailed comments. I did receive about 3 phone calls and generally in favor of this project. And with that, staff is recommending approval of the application presented to you tonight.
Thank you, Miguel. Any questions for staff at this point of the process? Mr. Catmull.
So I think this is one of the first development agreements I've seen that has that flexibility of anything not covered is allowed in the zone. So this is all those uses, the flexibility you spoke of. Where on this would that, what areas of the property would that cover if in the development agreement we have the office and the chapel and the parking and everything? It feels like it's a very narrow portion of that property that would be open to the full CC community commercial zoning uses. Is that?
That's true. All the uses listed under the permitted uses of the could be used anywhere on the property as long as they're able to fit them. But the development agreement does say they have to generally follow the concept. The concept does say the church is going to be a reception center, and the offices can be anything that's permitted in there. It can be just professional office. It can be some sort of consultation. It can be, it can't be any sort of general retail or restaurant probably, but as long as it fits into that permitted use category or conditional use.
Why couldn't it be a restaurant?
It would have to come back to the parking and other things to take into consideration based on if that was ever, you know, something to discuss. They wanted to do with the city, they would have to look at where on the building they wanted to do that, see if they have enough parking and other building details they would have to do for that. As far as I know about this application, that is not the intent. It is permitted, but that's not the intent. They did say they wanted to have professional uses there only.
And so it looks like if I'm just eyeballing it on the map, that's got to be 90% of this property is locked in on as far as surface area to an element that's in the concept map, right? Like I'm looking at the upper right. That's probably the only area that's not really spoken. And one of the reasons I'm asking, yep.
Oh. Yeah, I did notice that too. And in the development agreement, it does state they do have to landscape all areas of the property that's not built on.
Right. So. I'm just thinking like there are restrictions like the materials, but those materials specifically call out for the office building and we talk about the chapel, but there's no material requirement for any further accessory buildings or anything else built on the site. Although it does look like it's in the rear-ish of that property.
It would be in the rear, and building in that area would probably be a little bit more difficult just because of the elevation there and also the setback requirements. The setback requirements are only modified for the office building. So it's proposed to be 10 feet away from Temple or 13th West and zero lot line setback on the north side. And staff was comfortable with that because there is a city-owned buffer area that is between this property and the lane, the street to the north here.
Mm-hmm. Right here. Okay.
So that's the reason that staff was comfortable with a zero lot line setback there.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that the area where they could potentially build something else, a significant structure, was really quite minimal relative to the concept plan. So thank you.
Mr. Farnsworth. Jeremy, hi. I want to get you involved tonight. Just once. Thank you. Miguel answered the first question I had for you on the city buffer to the north. But just, I know there's one of the maps we showed with an arrow in. Can you just talk about traffic flow? I know this is not site plan yet, but rezone. But any concerns, I'm assuming only access off Temple Drive, 13th West, and not from, the road to the north. That's escaping my mind right now.
I think Holt Farm Lane.
Holt Farm Lane Road, yeah. Thank you. Or definitely off of South Warren Parkway. Are there any concerns with traffic flow accessing this property? And of course, with emergency services, the chief left. So any concerns with getting engines? I know this church has been here for at least the 50 years I've been alive because I went there as a baby. So, I mean, any other concerns with public safety or traffic flow?
No, this actually is an improvement because they'll be moving that access further to the north, which will be a little bit further offset from the intersection with South Jordan Parkway. And so we liked this plan.
And if I recall right, because I drive it daily, when you turn northbound onto Temple Drive off South Jordan Parkway, it goes from two lanes into a merge lane into a single lane. I believe this turn point is right at that junction. Is that correct? And any concerns with just traffic load on Temple Drive?
The merge lane is slightly north of this, but yeah, not much of an acceleration lane, especially for that parking lot to the north. But it is, the merge does happen slightly north of even that north parking lot. And so, yeah, we didn't have concerns with this. And where it is accessing onto 1300 West, that is a collector road, and so we felt that it was a good spot.
And any concerns, because obviously on the hill, going down the hill, going northbound, and you've got the whole Family Farm Road. Any concerns with vehicles, line of sight, I guess, that's what I'm trying to get in with the hill or the other residential road just further north?
No, we didn't have any concerns there.
Okay. And then, of course, we'll address the parking stall issue maybe with the applicant. So anything else for staff before we open it up to the applicant? Okay, thank you, Miguel.
Thank you.
On my one report, the applicant's Christopher Thompson, but also I should note that the property owner is the Fraught and Living Trust and the developer is Destinations, Inc. I'm assuming the applicant is present this evening. Who would like to, if any, would like to make some comments, come forward. Just give us your name, and the time is yours to add on to Miguel's report. Give us both your names, and that way we just have it for the public record.
Great. My name is Kip Lambert. I'm one of the owners of Destinations, a longtime South Jordan resident, live in District 1 at 9744 Lazy Water Cove. My brother, Rick, is my business partner at Destinations. We have the distinction of being the two houses that went up in flames in 2016. And that was fun. But South Jordan City helped us through that patch and we got rebuilt and we're grateful for that. But we're excited about this project. This is a great opportunity for us to preserve a piece of South Jordan history. This, I think, is probably the oldest public use building still standing in South Jordan. I might be wrong, but it turns 100 this year. So it's an awesome thing to be proud of. We have the Fraughton family here with us today. We've got Ann Fraughton. Her husband passed away back in the summer of 2024. He's the famous sculptor that lived in the home and created art in the home. And we all know there's that wonderful, iconic bronze horse out front that we're eager to have be a part of the property if we can get this through with everybody. But this is a great property. We think this use is wonderful. We're excited to hold events there and to have an event garden in the very back of the property that just has these amazing views. And to have a complimentary office building that really can make the property useful and economical. Because standing on its own as an event center with all that property, it's just not that feasible. So we're grateful for the opportunity to put this forward to you and we're excited for this opportunity. So anything else, Chris?
No, I wanted to say, so I'm Chris Thompson with Core Architecture. I live in Eagle Mountain, 9458 North, Nighthawk Lane. And I've been the architect on this from the get-go, and these guys have been just a fantastic team to work with. We are really excited about this project, and we think that it fits very well with the contextual needs of the city, and we think that it's just all around very well balanced. Couple of points I would like to speak to is, as the city engineer mentioned, moving the fire truck apparatus inlet and outlet right there it's really tight the way it's currently designed close to South Jordan Parkway, and with this new design, we're really excited that not only will it give us a chance to move that 60 feet further away from South Jordan Parkway, allows for the queuing lanes to not be infringed upon and a much safer in and out, but it also, with this shared parking, we're able to kind of take down the block wall that's between the parking and make it feel more open, more visible. And with the parking agreement, we were about 18 stalls short without any agreement from the dentist offices. And so we felt like, even were that to be the case, with the time of use between the event venue being a wedding event venue, and then the office building being used during the daytime, the wedding event thing for weekends and evenings, we didn't feel like that would even be an infringement. But to overlay that with additional parking, that's the effort to try to do the shared parking with the two dentists' office, and we feel like there's more than adequate parking with the shared use times. And so, anything else? Okay, I think that's probably enough for now.
Well, I think I would add one thing. We don't have a formal shared parking agreement, but we do have a letter of intent with both properties. We do have Dr. Harris here, that, you know, will be a building directly to the south of it. And so, you know, we definitely will be entering into a more formal once, if we can take possession and ownership of the property.
Okay. And you understand, as Steph mentioned, that next steps can't be completed without that parking agreement. Okay, just want to make sure, confirm from the staff comment during their report that that's understood. Looks like you guys are working towards that end. So, any questions for the applicant, Mr. Cavill, Mr. Farnsworth, while we have them forward here?
Just wondering how many events can be going on concurrently? Is there only one space? Are there two spaces?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. The way this space is set up, we are adding on to the what would be the east side with what we're calling the greenhouse. It adds about an additional 1,500 square feet off the back, but we intend that to be just a one continuous kind of chapel event space, not really conducive to holding more than one wedding or really one event at a time. There is this patio space that would be on the other addition, that's also on the east side. You know, potentially, you know, you could maybe have an additional event, but that's only a couple hundred square feet on top of that. The idea of doing two that would compete against each other, probably have a pretty angry bridezilla if there was another party going on during her big event. So we don't anticipate that at all.
Thanks. How about like daytime events? So with a lot of work, more or increasing work from home and other situations, some people where they don't have a home office or are looking for a place to gather for like semi-annual or annual gatherings, is that something that would be sought after or accepted as part of this?
Yeah, it would be something in the business plan to try to accept some daytime events. We would be very careful with our neighbors to make sure that we're not overlapping as much as possible during their peak time hours and not taking up their shared parking. Doctors Miller and Harris have some different office hours where their office is closed during a typical work day or for half a day or whatnot. And that happens with some of the other buildings as well. And so, yes, while we do plan on having some daytime events here and there, we don't anticipate too much of the parking being that disrupted. And we'd want to work well with our neighbors so that we're not screaming at each other.
And then there's, it looks like there's pretty good public transit in this area.
Yeah.
Well. If someone were to be.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I think there's a stop somewhere along right in front of near that corner or somewhere nearby.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Just to follow up on the disruption, I know we focus on parking and with the neighboring businesses, but are there any enhancements that will need to be made to the Purple Church and to make it soundproof? I'm just thinking of someone who lives within three blocks of this property. There are some other venues nearby that sometimes have noise that I can hear, to be blunt. Are there any enhancements that we've made to the building to make any noise in or the patio, you know, just to make sure, and this will come up in the site plan in the next step.
Yes, yeah.
Any thoughts to that? I just want to make sure that you guys are aware and consider that when we get to the next.
Yeah, currently right now we don't have any soundproofing that we've discussed as far as the building is concerned. The patio upstairs would be outdoor. Of course, the event lawn is another one that would stretch near that neighborhood. We would definitely stay within any sound ordinances. I'm sure we'd be held to whatever that residential zone would be, and we would adhere to those. But as far as the property is concerned, we're doing significant structural upgrades to get it ready to hold an event, make sure that the dance floor can hold that many people, and that the foundation is shored up and that the walls are buttoned up and all together.
Yeah, in addition to that, I think as far as just the aesthetics and the sound, with it being fully landscaped, there's a buffer of landscaping with trees, shrubs, and that kind of thing that would help kind of screen the event from sound and visual.
Great. Just not too many fireworks throughout the year with the property just to the east of this. So, the other thing is just the building on the north, which is, you know, shown here a little bit with the parking, but. Do you have an intended client? I know they brought up a restaurant, probably wouldn't fly in this for that. But
yeah, no. As far as restaurants or any of those typical more consumer businesses, no. With our friends, the dentists, it would be more that professional destinations. We're an event planning firm. We do international incentive travel events and USA events as well. So it's mostly just regular business operations, professional offices, potential doctors, dentists, lawyers, that sort of thing, with typical 9 to 5 hours for the office building that's on the north.
Okay. Anything else for the applicant while we have him forward? Okay. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate you having forward. We'll save some time after public comment if there are any questions arise. So at this portion, I'm just going to go through the ground rules again on the general public. I'm going to open it up to the general public. And just as a reminder, we are a recommending body to the city council. So this is just your first opportunity if you're here to make comments on this property. When we open up public comment, please come to the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record. You will have up to 3 minutes. There is a clock there just to your right at the microphone when the flash is red. I'm not being mean to cut you off, just where you for that's our commission rules. You're allowed 3 minutes. We will jot down any questions, comments. We will not directly answer you. So if you're waiting for an answer, you're not going to get it immediately. So we're not trying to be rude. We're just trying to write them all down. And so at this point, any member of the general public who is present for this item, please, the general public is now open.
I'm Russ Naylor. My office is just south of this property on the south side on Temple Drive, and my home is in Temple Vista. I live at 10283 South Steepleview Court. So this property is just to the south and east of my home. My home faces to the east, so I have the mountain view and so forth, and a lot of traffic noise. But I had the opportunity to see this proposed development a couple of months ago. Former city council member that's my neighbor was gracious enough to send it to me because he thought I'd have an interest. I've lived in my home now for 20 years, and I've watched this property, as the owners got old, you know, it started to look pretty ratty. He used to have horses there that he, had there during the winter, and he did, I think, some training and so forth. But it's great. You know, I think it's really cool that they're going to maintain this historic building and make it look like it should. I think the use is a nice use, and I like the architecture. I think the architect's done a nice job of maintaining the historical character with the additions and the office building that's being added to the north. So I am full support of what they're proposing and hope you'll move it along for the city council to approve it.
Thank you, Mr. Naylor. Anyone else like to give testimony on this item?
My name is Ted Froughton, and I am from the Old Purple Church. My father bought that. This Friday will be 52 years that we've been there as a family. The day we moved in was Friday 52 years ago. So many of you know my dad was an artist, and ultimately he decided when he was trying to figure out what to do for his living, he decided sculpture would make more of an impact on humanity. And there's some great monuments around this country, and eventually he'll be known like Norman Rockwell or Charlie Russell or Frederick Remington. And his dream was to keep this building alive and put an art museum in there. Well, after he departed, as a family, we got together and tried to decide what would be best for this building, and preservation was at the top of our list. So we entertain a lot of offers on the place, and this really is the best one that we found that is going to maintain and keep the integrity. And ultimately, it's up to you and the city council to decide to preserve this historic site in the city. It was built in 1926. Heber J. Grant came out and dedicated it in 1927. It's probably one of the few public access buildings in South Jordan that's left. And this is its 100th year. So it's built in 26. So, you know, I just, as a family, we'd love to see it preserved. Unfortunately, it's too big of a place for my mom to stay in all by herself. So, you know, ultimately we've lived our dream there. And it's time, you know, for us to back out and move on. But my dad created some great, great works around the country, Mesa Verde National Park and Cheyenne, Wyoming, in front of the state capitol. He excavated underneath the chapel when he bought the place. And the reason he bought that place was because he could do these large monuments within that chapel because of the high ceilings. So, you know, we've lived our dream there. And as a family, it's been a wonderful, wonderful place. It's got a magic of its own. And, you know, we'd like to invite you or anybody on the city council to come over and see it before we start dismantling and taking the art down and the pieces out. Hopefully, with this project, we can kind of maintain my dad's dreams. And if it sees the light of day, you know, hopefully keep some of his artwork around there and in the gardens. And like Kip said, possibly keep the horse there. So we just like to tell you that we appreciate your consideration for this project. And as a family, we're all for it, and we think it's been the best opportunity and best option for us. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Froughton. Is there anyone else present who'd like to give testimony on this item?
My name is Craig Johnson, that's C-R-A-I-G, Johnson. I'm here with my wife, Lenora. We live at 1264 West Generation Lane, which is part of the Hidden Village subdivision, which is immediately north and east of this property. I just want to tell you that we love this development. Sorry. We loved Ed Froughton. We were in Jackson Hole a few years ago, which I love to go to, and we were in one of the art galleries there, and I asked the proprietor, have you heard of Ed Froughton? And he said, He looked at me and he said, for my money, Ed Frotten is one of the two greatest sculptors in the world right now. We love this development because we think it fits the property that's there. We love that they're going to keep the chapel and renovate it and that the new building will fit with the chapel. We think that the design fits well with the Hidden Village subdivision, which, as you probably know, is kind of a farmhouse style subdivision. We think it fits very well with that. I can't speak for our neighbors. The ones that I have spoken with are all in favor of it as well. I think it speaks very loudly that there are none of them here tonight to protest it or vote against it or raise any concerns. Let me mention one other thing. There's a park right there as well, Hope Farms Park, which actually is between our home and this property right here. And there are events going on there all the time. The noise there has never bothered us, and we are right on the park. So the noise doesn't, I don't think that's a concern for us, nor is the parking. And so we would appreciate it if you would recommend that this pass to the city council. We think it's a great development. We think it's a great opportunity for our neighborhood. We think it's a great opportunity for the city. We obviously think it's a great opportunity for Ann Frotten, who is a dear friend. And we hope that you'll recommend it to the city council. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Anyone else present this evening who'd like to give testimony on this item?
Danny Harris with Jordan River Dental, just neighbors of the old church. Here to definitely give our support to the process. We've loved being neighbors with the old church and the Frottens. In fact, I have kind of a personal connection to that in that my uncle, Blair Buswell, worked with Ed Frotten on the wagon train that now goes around a city block in Omaha, Nebraska. And so I've been in there to see some of the work that was done, and it's brilliant. And I love the fact that this will be a place that can stand historic and honor Ed and all that he has done for the community, really. And maybe a lot of people don't even know that. And I think it'll be something that it sounds like Kip and Rick want to carry on and make sure people know about. Also, Jordan River Dental is the second oldest business in South Jordan, and started by my father-in-law, David Miller. He built the three buildings that exist right there under a nature of being historic. So we love the idea that it will carry on in a historic nature and renovated and not scraped and start over. So we're way in favor of that. Also, the parking agreement that they've talked about, very in favor of, and think it will be a great addition to that whole entire corner there. That parking sometimes can be a bit of a trouble. So to have this work together as neighbors, we think will be a great asset to everyone involved. So just here to add our support to the process.
Thank you, Dr. Harris. Anyone else present who'd like to give testimony on this item?
Hi, I'm Denise Allen. I live off of 98th and Bangor, and my great-grandfather was Samuel Holt. My family are the ones who made the agreement with the city for the Holt family farmstead to become a park. And my brother and I met with Kip yesterday. We're very excited about this project and the potential that we have to work together. Our foundation that we've just formed is seeking to work with the city and get the interior of the Holt farmstead finished. Kip and Russ and I talked about the potential of working together and having the use be complementary and really get that farmstead working in the historical manner that it's been meant to be working in that hasn't happened yet. And so we're very supportive of this project and encourage you to pass it along to the city council.
Thank you, Ms. Allen. Anything else? Please.
I'm Ann Froughton, the little old lady who lives in the church. I had offers on that property. I planned for a bunch of little office buildings with parking, a bunch of houses so close together that you never had a view from that property, which is incredible. And I just held out. I was like, I want to save the building. And all these people are here supporting me. Everybody here is supporting saving the building. It's amazing. And I'm just very grateful that we've been able to do it. Thank you.
Anyone else present this evening? I'll give it a couple more seconds, and then I'm going to close public hearing and comment. Going once, going twice. Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it amongst the commission for discussion leading to motion. I'm going to address the questions that were raised during public comment, and there were none because they were all in support on that. I've mentioned many meetings over the years. I actually grew up 5 blocks north of this on 13th West, and of course, my this building holds great historical, before it was a home of the Froughtons, but when it was actually a working church for my family. So I'll just mention that because the historic nature, which got raised a couple times. And as sometimes we get blasted here on the commission for making changes that might not preserve the rural or historic nature of the South Jordan, this is actually, I think, a good proposal in front of the city council can approve. And so I have no concerns, and I'm going to vote in favor of it. And I'll turn to Mr. Farnsworth and Mr. Catwell for any comments you'd like to make.
Yeah, I just very much appreciate everyone coming out tonight. Usually when we have large groups, there's a lot of questions and concerns that come up, so it was refreshing to hear a lot of support. And I also will be supportive of this project. It preserves the church. It preserves the legacy of Mr. Froughton. Brings development to our city and obviously improves some traffic access issues. So look forward to supporting.
And the words that come to my mind after listening to the presentation and asking questions are that more like balance and synergy. And so I love those types of words that resonate in my mind when we have a development agreement, because development agreements are meant to handle special circumstances. I feel like this is handled really well, and I too am supportive of this.
Okay, well, I'm gonna take some personal privilege because I'm the representative for District 1 and been driving by this for 50 years. So I move that based on the staff report and our discussion this evening that we, the Planning Commission, recommend that the City Council approve Resolution 2026-03, the authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Destinations Inc. and Ordinance 2026-02-Z, rezoning the Purple Church property from agricultural A1 to community commercial with the Development Floating Zone CCPD.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Gedge, a second by Commissioner Catmull, and a third by Commissioner Farnsworth. Any discussion to the motion? I think I spit it all out, right? Sorry, I was stumbling a couple times. Any discussion to the motion? This will require a roll call vote, so Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Gedge.
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth.
Yes.
Yes.
That motion, a favorable recommendation, goes to the City Council, and as I mentioned a couple times this evening, I should have asked Miguel, when is this scheduled to appear before the City Council? I usually ask that at the beginning.
It's scheduled for March 3rd, Tuesday at 6:30, March 3rd. I have not noticed it yet, but I will be noticing it. I was waiting for this Planning Commission meeting to be held first, so I'll be sending out notice soon.
So one more step on this piece, and then I'm sure then if City Council makes whatever action, then we may be seeing you guys all again in the future on the next steps. So that concludes our legislative public hearings this evening. We have one more item, item J, which is other business. So typically, I look to my left, Mr. Schindler. What does our next meeting look like, March 10th?
The next meeting, actually, is it March 10th? I think it's...
Oh, he said March 3rd, so I just added 7.
Oh.
I grew up in South Jordan, so if my math's off...
I think it's on February 24th.
Oh, there is a February meeting. Sorry. Yeah.
But anyway, that agenda looks like there's right now there's two items, and both of them are Miguel's, and he said maybe one of them may be postponed into March, so we don't know for sure. So.
Mr. Farnsworth, would you be opposed if I let you chair that one and I'll sit next to you as vice chair?
Works for me.
Okay, just give you some experience on a lighter agenda, and in case I'm ever absent, you're ready to go. I don't throw you to the wolves.
Sounds good.
Okay, anything else for other business from anyone? Mr. Priest, Mr. Simonson, Mr. Nilsson, Aguilera. Again, thank you everyone for being here this evening. Okay, motion to adjourn.
Second.